Hello and welcome back to the BenHeck.com podcast. I'm your host, Ben Heckendorn.
And I'm Jason Jones.
So here we are again after my disastrous lunch trip to McDonald's.
And he lived to tell the tale.
It was terrible. It took 45 minutes in the drive-thru, and I actually didn't get my food. I went in and got a refund. But I did get a free soda out of it, I guess, which I'm drinking now.
That's like an impressive amount of patience to wait that long.
But then I ran out of patience.
That is true.
Because I'm like, well, it would only take 1 minute to microwave the leftover pizza I know I have in the shop fridge.
Yes.
I should have gone to Culver's instead because it's right over there.
Well, I was like, because we were texting because I was sitting here waiting and I was like, you know, you could have like ordered a pizza and then gone and picked it up. And started eating it in the time that you waited.
There's
in line.
A Domino's and a Pizza Hut right down the road, so I could have ordered from either. I could have ordered from a Domino's and Pizza Hut in series and gotten both pizzas in less than 45 minutes. It reminds me of that. Do you remember in the news a couple years ago when they were talking about 3D printed guns?
Hmm.
And how that would be a huge problem.
Oh yeah,
but it's dumb because you'd have to sit there and wait for the gun to print.
So it'd be like John Malkovich in The Line of Fire?
Yeah, kind of. I thought it might be interesting to do like a Michael Moore type expose.
It's
like you show the 3D printer, it's like, ooh, it's printing a gun. And then you film yourself going to the gun store and back over and over and over and see how many guns you could buy in the time it takes to print one.
Yes, yep.
Yeah.
But if you couldn't. You know, if you didn't have the ability to go and buy one.
Or if you were like, if you had like a felony charge or whatever.
Yeah, it's something, you know, then. There's always another argument for whatever.
But it's the same kind of thing, yes. I probably could have started my own restaurant faster than that drive-through line took. Yeah, like every other car was like just pulling out and leaving. And then the lady in front of me was getting a refund too. Insanity.
Yeah, it's like my slow McDonald's experience on Friday was not that bad, but it took like 15, 20 minutes to get my food.
Which you should make that a Twitter hashtag. When that McDonald's in Verona is dumb because you have to drive around it twice, the way they have the windows set up.
Through, yeah.
But, I'm sure it was some sort of ordinance. They couldn't have an extra driveway. Because obviously, who would choose to have that be the issue? So, what are we going to talk about today, Jones, besides fast food?
I don't know. You were talking about this Stranger Things show, which
Oh yeah,
I haven't seen, but I've heard about from people. And
it's like the new hot thing to tell your friends to watch.
Yes, and the thing for Netflix to tell you to watch. That well, and some XOXO show now. They were like slapping me across the face with that yesterday.
I would rather have them push Stranger Things than, you know, Adam Sandler movies.
That's true.
It's like because of your interest in Ingmar Bergman's The Seventh Seal, we think you might like The Do-Over. Well, the reason I thought Stranger Things was relevant was because it's kind of an 80s throwback, but it's not a remake or a reboot. It's done in the style of the 80s, and I think that's what people actually respond to. So I thought it might be kind of interesting to talk about that. I mean, we talk about or complain about reboots and remakes a lot on the show. And
it's a recurring theme.
So that's why I thought Stranger Things might be relevant. We could also talk about what video games we've been playing lately, if any.
Yes, we could.
Did you buy No Man's Sky?
I did not.
Neither did I.
I read a bit about it, and you know, on paper it seemed like the sort of game that I would really like. But
yeah,
a lot of the kind of longer term reviews I've read, it seems like it kind of wears out its welcome fairly quickly.
Yeah, it's basically a survival gathering game, and that doesn't really sound interesting to me.
Yeah.
They'll probably put in a zombie mod. There'll be a procedurally generated zombie planet.
Yep, to liven it up a bit.
So. Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of game I would love to play, but...
Well, and there was stuff, too, where I read, you know, like... So this is all secondhand, of course, but... you know, where they said that it was, you know, quite unlikely you would encounter another player in the game, but that it was possible to. And then there was like some sort of thing where these two different people had their Twitch streams going, and they both were on the same planet. They were both standing in the exact same place, and they could not see each other. And so they called bullshit on the developer, because the developer had claimed that would be possible, and it's not. Which, to me, I think that would be a really cool facet to the game. You know, like, kind of have a little bit of an MMO aspect. Because it would add an extra thrill to it where you're, you know, running around on this supposedly uncharted planet, and then, oh, holy shit, there's another person
Why
there.
Why don't they just create one solar system and everyone's on that one solar system? I mean, that would be still big enough.
Yeah, it feels...
How would you store, what is it, 18 quintillion planets?
Yeah, it just feels like it's kind of like a tech demo, you know, just to be like, look, we can, like, generate all these planets, but ultimately they end up being kind of like Star Wars planets, it sounds like. You know, they have, like, one feature for the
most
part.
Would you store the data for these planets? Like, the planets are procedurally generated locally on your console? Then how do other people know?
Well, they have some sort of internet component, so...
Here's my point. Like, if you could actually... Well, I'm sure it's like, oh, if we put our algorithms in every possible iteration, it's, you know, X to the power of X to the power of X, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And that's what they get, 18 quintillion planets. But how could you store 18 quintillion planets in a server? You certainly couldn't do it. You know what I'm saying?
The cloud is for.
Isn't that like a shitload of memory? I don't even know how big that number is.
Well, I mean, if you thought about it, like, ultimately all that is stuff. It's just like rows and databases.
Yeah.
You know, and so then whatever their engine is just reads that data and it would generate the planet on the fly. That would be how I would assume it would work. It's not like it's actually storing like all this raw you know, the planet itself in terms of like all of its assets and things.
Okay,
I could be wrong.
Quintillion.
That would be my assumption as to how they're doing it.
Okay, so we have 1 million, 1 billion, 1 trillion, quadrillion.
Ben's playying with his
calculator. My calculator can't even go up to quintillion. So quintillion is
a lot.
Yeah, it would be 2,000 trillion.
But yeah, this is like one of those cases where it's like, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should.
Well, okay, I guess my point is like, if you had one byte for every one of those planets, that would still take up an enormous amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
But the planets have obviously a lot more data on them than just one byte.
Yes, yeah.
So maybe each planet has like a seed generator, like, here's what the planet will look like.
Mm-hmm.
But would everyone get the same planet, like if they had that same seed, would it procedurally generate the same way?
Probably.
I mean, you're into servers and stuff. Like, how much memory or data can a server hold? I mean, it's usually, like, at least petabytes, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. But, I mean, we certainly don't have anything in petabyte land where I work. But,
I mean, isn't that, like,
that's,
you know,
definitely
NSA, CSI? Can it, CSI?
Yeah, that's CSI. Like, just when you're dealing with just massive amounts of data, you know, you're talking about storing, you know, petabytes worth.
Okay, so quintillion is two stages above trillion, so that would make it an exabyte, I think. Does that math sound right? You're like the math person. See, we have trillion, which would be a terabyte, like if we're thinking about computer terms. Quadrillion, quintillion. So we have terabyte, petabyte, exabyte.
Okay.
Does that add up to you?
So quintillion would be exabytes is what you're thinking?
So if it's 16 quintillion planets,
yeah,
and each planet required just a one byte.
One byte.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make any sense because you only have 255 possible planets or 256 possible planets.
Yeah.
So, like, let's say, just conservatively, let's say the base algorithm to generate the planet is, like, let's just say 1 megabyte, right?
Yeah.
So that means if you had 16 quintillion planets, that's just, if there was just, well, yeah, let's say it's 1 megabyte, so that would be 16 exabytes, and then to make it a megabyte, you multiply it by 1,000 again, which would be a total of 16 zettabytes.
I don't know. I mean, to me,
but where are you storing all that data?
They must, like you say, it must be distributed. Like, it must be across, like, all these devices. They only have, they'll have their own little local copies. I know that there's supposed to be some, there's some sort of networking component to it, from what I've read. I don't know what that entails. Maybe all that does is, I mean, they've got to be storing information on all these things, because if you do go to a planet that somebody else has actually been to before, the way you can tell that is that it's already named and things like that. Because if you're the first person
to discover...
So people
have found other people's planets?
Yeah, because it's... Because I guess if you're the first person to discover a planet, you get to name it, and you can kind of name, like, the indigenous species and things like that.
So you'd have to have a species generator, a terrain generator, whatever names are stored for it. Like, what do you think the maximum database entry is for a planet? Like, if someone actually found and named all 16 quintillion planets... And then if you took a megabyte per planet, that means you would need...
Because, it would have to store your custom names and all that, so then those are all strings in the database. You know, it would not be insignificant when you're talking about, like, this sort of scale.
Yeah.
Even if it was, like, half a meg or something, you know, it's, like, still massive. But the thing is, too, that quintillion whatever, that's, like, the theoretical limit. You know,
that they'll never get to, because people will stop playing the game long before that happens.
Yeah, they're just saying it could do this, but it's not going to.
So if you came across the same planet and it had the same random generator seed, you would see the same planet that someone else did?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, think about it. Like, if it procedurally generates a planet from an algorithm, then the data it actually requires to represent that planet is a lot more than some base algorithm. You know, you've got all the fractals, or I think it actually uses voxels, but you've got all that data, and that would be just astronomically more than a seed.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It's like, depending on what their algorithm is, you know, it's like right now I'm evaluating data masking software at work. And
wow, that sounds boring.
I don't know. The tech's pretty cool. It's like, does like data virtualization and all this, so you can take like one database and spin up like 20 copies of it and not take 20 copies worth of space. You can kind of think of it like virtual machines running on one piece of hardware instead of, you know, having one machine to one piece of hardware. But then the data masking component is, you know, to sanitize your production data in other environments. And so they have algorithms and things like that. So it's the sort of stuff where if it sees Frank for a first name, it will always change it to John, let's say. You know, I don't know what it specifically changes it to, but every time it sees a Frank somewhere, it's going to change it to John.
So that's like a Ellis Island kind of thing, where they changed everyone's name?
Sure.
My name is Gimor Gurukuritz. All right, John Smith, welcome to America.
Yes. But it's basically, you know, like, so you're not using your live data. And so, but that's like algorithm-based, you know, not on the scale of something like this. But, you know, it's depending on what their methodology is. So,
sixth
I wouldn't really get that hung up on that. What I would get hung up on is the fact that they could have went smaller and made it where you had more of this interactivity between your players.
Yeah, like, just make one solar system. I mean, isn't that enough?
Yeah, like, to me, it's like, basically make Mass Effect, but make it open world, and you would win. That's, like, all they had to do. Not that making Mass Effect is simple, but it's like, it has a finite number of locations, but you can still do kind of the traveling around, doing this and that.
You remember Elder Scrolls IV Oblivion?
Yes, I do.
And how there's all those caves in it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those were procedurally generated. I mean, not on the fly, but they weren't handcrafted. Like,
okay.
Bethesda used a tool to generate those.
Mm.
And then they didn't do that in Fallout and Skyrim, and the caves were more interesting. Well, maybe not in Fallout 4. Fallout 4 could have used that. Yeah, I don't know. I'd rather explore a handcrafted universe with a story than shoot rocks. It just reminds me of that old game on my Atari 800, Rescue on Fractalus. Probably didn't have that one.
No. But it's like, what would have been cool, you know, think about that, though. It'd be neat. Like, you could go off an adventure solo, or you could, like, group up with your friends and go and, like, explore these worlds. And then, yeah, maybe you encounter some sort of, like, civilization there, and then you have to, like, interact with them, work through it, or, you know, maybe trade resources, whatever. But, you know, like, that's the sort of stuff that would be cool.
But could it work as a multiplayer game? I mean, would
that's always the trick.
I mean, because think about it. Like, if it's probably being procedurally generated on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, like...
Well, that's what I'm saying. The way they're doing it, it doesn't sound like it would be. But right. I'm saying the way to do it and have it be more successful would have been to not do that model.
Because there was the... Online, it said that two people on Twitch went to the same planet.
Yeah.
It looked kind of different, and it was a different time of day. So the thing is, I don't think it would synchronize. Like,
If
you were randomly generating a planet, either one PS4 generates it and then sends the data to the other one, which probably wouldn't work because it'd be too slow.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the planets have already been procedurally generated and then their assets are linked. Because, like, you know, when you play, I don't know, like Battlefield Online, you know, there's a copy of the map on your computer and it matches the map on someone else's computer. And that's why it works. But even if the procedural generation would create the same planet either way, just the permutations of how it would happen and the scale of what it would happen could change. Mm-hmm. It's like a random number generator. Like, if you start it, like, even a millisecond after the other person, you might get a slightly different result. Probably why the multiplayer is probably not possible. Like, they said, it's like, okay, let's say you're living in an apartment building and you don't have any underwear left because it's in the wash. And you're like, I'll just wrap a towel around my butt and go downstairs real quick and hopefully no one sees me at 2 a.m. And they probably won't.
Yeah.
But they might.
But it could.
Yes. Yeah, so it's the same kind of thing.
That's why you just put pants on.
Oh, yeah.
Just free ball it. Who cares? So... But maybe you're secretly hoping somebody, you know, that cute redhead down the hall or something, you know, does pop out at 2 a.m. when you're in your towel. Who knows?
Yeah, that's so likely. But you see, where I live, like, the possibility of that is 0%. It's even worse than No Man's Sky. I need a procedurally generated apartment building. Maybe I'll have one where the procedurally generated upstairs neighbor doesn't smoke.
Mm.
Why is it that when it's like, this is a no-smoking apartment, people seem to think, oh, pot's okay. Pot not smoke? I suppose if you made a brownie or something.
Yeah, I guess. I don't. Yeah.
It's weird. I smell more pot randomly in Madison than when I was in Denver, Colorado, although I was only there for like a couple days. You know, in Colorado, you can't smoke it in public.
That's what I was just going to ask. Don't you have to, like, smoke it privately?
Yeah, you can't. So you can't smoke it in a park. You can't smoke it walking on the street. And if you put your money in the bank, the Fed sees it. So when I'm president, I'm just going to legalize pot and then use the proceeds for healthcare. Simple.
Yeah, it's like that's been my thing forever. Like, I've never smoked pot my whole life, but it's like I've always felt it should be legal. It's like, why not? It's another tax stream.
Yeah, like, I mean, how is it that much worse than beer?
Yeah, it's not worse than cigarettes.
Or cigarettes.
Not at all. Yeah, or any of this other shit. It's like, just
well, actually, in a way, it could be worse than cigarettes because pot, you know, you don't have filters on them.
Yeah.
Of course, people who smoke pot don't smoke it as much as people who smoke cigarettes.
Yes.
Well, some people do, but they, well.
You're always going to have that. You know, most people, they just, you know, do it every now and then.
I was reading about Prohibition, and I guess, like, drinking was such a problem in America back then. Like, people were showing up to work in the morning drunk.
Jesus.
I guess, like, there was just, like, rampant drinking. And it was, like, affecting people's work, like, in a mass scale. And that's one of the reasons why it happened.
Oh, that's why they did it, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But, of course, it was a stupid idea.
Yep, so
it's like, hey, we've created organized crime!
So there you go. You can run for president. I'll be your VP. And
okay.
There we go.
So, yes, my platform is legalize pot, tax it, healthcare. Boom. Wow, that was simple.
Yep.
I didn't even need
Fixed.
To pay... I didn't even need to pay a college university like $10 million to come up with a predetermined outcome. Oh, no, I've described all politics.
What?
Let's see. What college do I like? Okay, I'm going to give them $10 million to do a bunch of findings that already support my position.
My position. It's like I need a building named after me at this place. So here you go.
Wait, how did we go? Actually, I've heard that No Man's Sky is a good game to play if you like to smoke pot. Because it's got lots of colors and boredom.
Yeah, I suppose. And it's just kind of like leisurely paced, right? You can just kind of do your thing. Like you fly your ship around, drop down on a planet. And then you can go like dig up resources and stuff, I guess.
Oh, wait a minute. But you just said that you never smoked pot before. But if we're going to be the president and the vice president...
So do we have to then, if we want it to be legal? I mean, I'd be open to trying it at some
point.
Well,
no, no. Remember that big thing with Bill Clinton? Remember like how he didn't inhale?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Well, we'd be like...
Oh, wait, no one would care now, right?
Yeah, nobody gives a shit, so...
I mean, if you think about, like, look at Donald Trump, like, I can't even imagine a drug he probably hasn't done.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Although they say, like, that he's always, like, he's never... drank alcohol and smoked or anything like that.
What? I mean,
that's what they say.
But he's like a rich person.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know.
When people don't drink, that's that. I don't know. It's kind of weird. I know you don't, but I guess we can still be friends.
Yeah, it's like I rarely drink. So it's like every now and then I'll be like, I'll pick up a six pack. But yeah, the last six pack I bought, I think that was 3 or 4 months ago, and I think I still have 2 beers left out of it, so I'm drinking right. About 1 a month.
Well, see, actually, I think now, like, if you haven't smoked pot, that might be a liability for running for president.
They'd be like, I can't trust this guy. He's never smoked a joint.
Yeah, I mean, how else are you going to get the millennials? Because that's all who matter now are the millennials.
I'd be like, well, I got a contact buzz at a Pantera concert once, probably.
I've only smoked pot a few times, but I have drank enough booze and liquor to more than make up for it. So my hedonism is greatly... I am more hedonistic than your average pothead. I just, you know, don't like pot because... Because, it, you know, it smells.
Well, see, there you go. You're like the hedonistic, you know, you could be the lead guy, and then I'm more the slightly more straight and narrow guy
as your VP
pick, you know, to, yep, so we got to cover.
Let us know in the comments below how important pot smoking is to you in an election.
And we are both old enough.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, we would be like the youngest people. Because now we got, like, what, 2 effing geezers running for president.
Yep.
Either of whom would be the oldest or will be the oldest elected president ever.
Hillary wouldn't be, but Trump would be. Hillary's like...
Aren't they the same age?
Hillary's, like, 66, I think.
No, she's older than that.
Look it up. Use your internet
device. Okay.
I know they said Trump would actually be the oldest. Like,
yeah, because Reagan was, like, what, 68?
Yeah, because Trump is, like, 70.
Oh, okay. 68. She's a little younger than I thought. So she would be the same age as Reagan?
No, she'd be younger than Reagan. Reagan was like 69 something because Trump's like
70.
If Trump wins, Trump would be like older than Reagan by like 8 months or something at the time of inauguration. So
yeah, actually, those are like the oldest candidates we've had in quite a while because Obama was like what, 45?
Yeah, and Romney was probably like early 60s. Late 50s.
Oh, I bet
60s.
He wasn't even that old.
Something like that. I think he's older than you think he is. Like, who, Romney.
Mitt Romney?
Yeah, like he looks pretty young, but I think he's older than he seems.
This is such an interesting podcast. Today on the podcast,
this is just...
we guess how old candidates are. Oh, 69 years. Okay, yeah.
He's 69. Wow, I didn't think he was that old.
Wow, he's like a movie star. Like, that's,
yeah.
He looks pretty good for a 69-year-old.
Yeah, so he's older than Hillary, actually. Wow. Yeah, I figured he was like early 60s, but shit.
Do you think he smokes pot? I mean, he was Mormon, right?
He probably has at some time.
Yeah. Well, Utah, they have a smoking section in their airport.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Actually, I've seen that a couple places. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, somehow we went from No Man's Sky to pot to how old presidential candidates are. Who was the youngest president ever? Was that JFK?
It was either him or Clinton. I think JFK was the youngest. I think, wasn't he like 46 or something like that?
Obama was pretty young too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So how old would Bernie Sanders have been if he would have done two terms? Like 82, 83?
Yeah, because he's like 73 or 74.
No, he's like 75, or he would be 75.
Well, that was like when McCain ran too. McCain, well, he wasn't 70, I don't think, when he ran, but he's definitely now he's long in the tooth.
Mitt Romney must use a lot of hair products or something.
Yeah, because it's like you could easily assume that dude was like in his 50s.
Yeah, he's at least 10 years older than I would have thought. Yeah, okay, so that's our thoughts on the age of presidential candidates.
Yes, very exciting.
So yeah, I mean, I really, really wanted to, like, how do I put this? I would have loved to buy No Man's Sky, but
yeah.
I've seen enough video gaming to know that it was going to be a huge disappointment no matter what. I mean, people have really short memories, I guess.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the sort of game that would have been like a tech demo for VR.
But
they didn't do VR.
It started as a low-budget indie game. But then for whatever reason, Sony like glommed onto it and kind of
just poured
pushed it above its station, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, well, it started as an indie game. I mean, if it was like a $20 indie game, people would probably be like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about perception.
Yeah, I think like 14 people made it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So once again, Sony with a misguided move, much like their movie division.
Speaking of misguided moves, so they have a PlayStation 4 Slim coming. They're making one too, and it and the Neo will be announced in about 2 weeks, September 7th. The thing is, like, why the Neo? Well, I know why they're doing it. They're doing it to make money, obviously. That's always the point.
So is the Slim because Microsoft made a Slim? So this is their
reaction.
Probably
just a cost reduction on the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
But is it going to come down in price? And the rumor is that the Neo is going to be $500. Here's the way I look at it. Here's exactly what's happening. When they do a cost reduction, they can shrink the die, and they can save money. And then they save money, and they also sell the consoles for a lower price. Mm-hmm. But if you look at, like, the last generation, the price of consoles stayed way inflated compared to previous generations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think the deal is with the Neo, it's like, oh, instead of a cost reduction, we can get, you know, better silicon for about the same price, but charge more for it.
Oh, yeah.
It's basically they're trying to squeeze blood from a stone because aside from PlayStation 4, Sony is not doing well. So, yeah, let's squeeze more money out of our only profitable division. But it's stupid because it goes against everything consoles stand for.
Yep.
You know these companies, they just have giant hard-ons to be like the cell phone industry where you can sell someone a new whatever every 2 years. Because if you think about it, you know, people buy $600 phones every 2 years or 18 months, and that's, like, way more than a console.
Which, that seems crazy to me, too, that people do that, but I know people do.
Think about it, like, 1 billion cell phones go through 2-year cycles, and we're talking about the video game industry where it's like, oh, we sold 40 million units.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, you look at Sony, though, it's like you say, they don't have jack shit else out there that's like going for them right now. Like TV sales are in the toilet. Their movie division can't do anything worth a damn.
It used to do well, but now it's kind of like the early 90s. Remember the early 90s when Sony's movies were just shit? they were terrible. It wasn't like until Men in Black they started getting their shit together.
Yeah.
They had like Last Action Hero and Hudson Hawk and Hook.
Ugh.
Didn't do that well. I know all the millennials love Hook, but it's not a good movie. It's also too long.
Hook is pretty goddamn terrible.
What about that part where they're playing baseball? You remember? And he's like, yes, yes, my Jack. Go, my Jack. And then a big, dumb, dramatic camera move down to Robin Williams. He's like, my Jack.
Ugh.
You know, the thing about that movie, it's like, because I watched it a couple years ago. I saw it in the theater, but
I'm sorry.
There's worse movies than Hook.
There are, but it's
got a really good soundtrack.
It's definitely lower tier Spielberg. It's not lowest tier Spielberg, but it's down there.
It needed to be darker. Like, yes. At the end where the Lost Boys are fighting the pirates with, like, eggs and paint and shit.
Well, it's got just that lame shit, like, we believe in you, Peter.
Did I mention it's too long? Well, last time I watched it, it takes, like, 30 minutes for him to get to Neverland. Because it's like, what is it? It starts, they're watching a play of Peter Pan. Then he takes his kids home. Then he goes to work. Then they get on a plane. It's like the movie shouldn't even start yet. It's like if a play involved people in the dressing room putting on makeup. It's like, why are we seeing this? It's like yep. You have them walk in the door like, oh, it's my grandma Wendy. I'm here for the holidays. It's like, start the movie there. Yeah. Save like 20 minutes.
See, that was one thing. I know that you despise Jurassic World, but that was one thing I did like about it is, like, within 5 minutes, they're at Jurassic World. You know, it's like they do not fuck around in that movie.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like,
here's this family, whatever, we could see that maybe things aren't great, and then, boom, the kids are at the park, and off we go.
And they just get in there.
Yeah.
Hey, that reminds me. I had this idea for a TV show. The other day, we were trying to think of, like, TV shows that networks would make, because you know they all make different kinds of shows.
Yes.
So we were trying to think. We were like, hey, are there any comedies left on NBC?
I don't know, because like Parks and Rec ended. I don't know if they've managed to find
30 Rock ended.
Office ended. Yeah.
So anyway, our CBS comedy, it was called Roomies. So it's like there's this Jason Bateman type character, and he's like this straight-laced, you know, middle-class guy. And then his wacky roommate from college gets divorced and needs to move in. And then Judy Greer is his wife. That's why Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, yes.
And then hijinks ensue. And then every episode is like the name of something that happens. So it could be called like the sandwich or the six-pack or the laundry. And Jason Bateman.
We'd have plenty of fodder for that for... Yeah, that's a good idea, because, yeah, it's like, well, it actually happened with us, because I got divorced.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I moved in for, like, that year or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was interesting, like, my perspective on that was very interesting, because it's like I went from, it's like, oh, here's what my life's going to be. I'm going to, live with this person. We're going to have a family, whatever, all that shit, all the married crap. But then it's like suddenly that's gone, and then you, like, go backwards to, like, oh, now I have roommates again. It's kind of like you're back into like college life.
So you could set up.
It's actually a pretty good premise for a show.
Yeah, the guy who moves in as a roommate, you could set him up as like, the slob. He kind of pisses off Jason Bateman.
Yes.
But then he brings all that up and he mentions it. And then Jason Bateman's like, oh, I didn't think about it from your perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'd be a better movie, actually, than a TV series.
It could be, yeah. Because, it would have, like, the comedic and dramatic elements to it.
It would be like Jason Bateman, the poster would be like, Jason Bateman, like, folding his arms, Judy Greer holding a baby, and Paul Rudd, like, with his shrugging.
So it wouldn't be Jason Bateman, like, looking kind of satisfactorily into a cup?
Yeah, like the switch.
That pitch. Oh,
yeah, it's more like this, it's more like this. It's like,
Yeah, he's just like, not bad.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think I was going to fill that thing up.
I guess you can judge sperm by its cover.
Every time I see that, like, because it's on, like, Netflix, I think, so it'll be in the tiles sometimes when you're scrolling through. It makes me laugh every time. I have to give that movie that much. That picture.
It's so, I can just, like, I'm just going to guess that you've seen this movie, but Felix and I were having a long conversation one day about Age of Adeline.
I haven't yet, but I want to.
Because I see it's on Amazon, and it's like, so it's Benjamin Button with a woman, or she doesn't age?
I know Dale told me that I need to see it, because he's like, I think this one's like right in your wheelhouse, because I like kind of like that romantic, sappy shit for some reason. I eat that up with a spoon. So, she doesn't age, I believe, but then, like, the guy she falls in love with does, obviously, because I think...
Let me guess, Harrison Ford, she kills herself.
I don't know, but, because I think Harrison Ford plays the older version of the character.
Oh.
He's in it.
It's on Amazon Prime Video.
Yeah, I need to watch that. I keep forgetting about it.
Yeah, I've been trying to watch more movies lately. Oh, I watched 3 movies this week, can you believe that?
Holy shit.
So I watched Hellboy 2, The Golden Army.
I still haven't seen that.
I saw it in the theater, but the air conditioning was broken, so it affected my opinion of it, and I liked it more watching it again.
Is it similar in quality to the first, or?
Yeah, it's basically the same plot.
Okay.
I mean, they...
The first one was pretty decent.
You know, when I first saw it, they changed Abe Sapien's voice, because before it was like Doug Jones. Doug Jones is the actor, and then David Hyde Pierce is the voice.
Okay.
And in the second movie, Doug Jones also does the voice.
Oh.
And I guess I didn't find it as distracting this time, although it's like...
It's been a long time since you saw the first movie now, probably.
Although, I mean, it's like, why would you ever remove David Hyde Pierce for something? I guess it's cheaper. You can save a few dollars.
Yeah.
Then I also watched... Because I was working on the script for our horror movie, so I also watched the Evil Dead remake and the Thing remake.
Oh, that's why you watched the Thing remake.
I actually know. It's because I watched the Evil Dead remake, and I'm like, well, I've also been insanely curious about the Thing remake, and it's not a remake, that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's a prequel.
Yeah. But didn't they call it The Thing?
Yes. What else would they have called it, though? The Thing Begins?
I don't know, but it's like, how are people not going to be like, oh, they're just remaking it, because they called it the same goddamn thing.
Right, but it was referred to as a remake, but it's not.
But that's how it happens. It's because, like, they called it the same goddamn thing.
But if you watch the movie, it's a frickin' prequel.
It's just like calling the new Ghostbusters movie fucking Ghostbusters. It's like...
Well, I mean, it's even beyond... You remember the last episode where we were complaining about the difference between remakes and... reboots.
Yes, which I'll admit that I've reached the point where I think I've become, gotten to the point where I just care so little anymore that I'll just interchange the words too. I'm just like, whatever.
Well, okay, in the original Thing, which is a great movie because it has Kurt Russell in it, they find that abandoned base that was run by the Norwegians, everyone's dead, and they clearly had dug something up from the ice.
That is one of the very few, like, well-executed John Carpenter movies. Too. He has a lot of like really interesting ideas. He seems kind of like a George Lucas type. Like,
uh-huh.
You know, good idea guy, but kind of comes up short on execution at times.
So in this prequel, I guess, there's like a bunch of Norwegians on the original base. They find something. They hire Mary Elizabeth Winstead to like examine it. So she's like the only American. So when she's not on screen, they speak Norwegian to each other.
That's cool.
And then since they're from Europe, they all know English, so they speak English to her. And it ends with people in a helicopter shooting at a dog. It's a prequel. They don't even do the blood scene the same. They do it differently.
Okay.
She finds like a leg implant. You know, like when you break your leg really bad and they put a rod in?
Yeah.
She finds that and she's like, oh, why didn't the creature leave this in? They, like, excised it. Then she finds fillings from teeth. So instead of doing the blood with the hot wire, she, like, sees if anyone actually has fillings.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's a couple of people who have, like, crowns or they no fillings, which some people do. And she's like, oh, well, you might be an alien. So they don't even it's not even beat for beat the same movie, which sometimes those things are, but it was still called a remake for some reason.
Yeah, when you said Mary Elizabeth, I was like, is he going to say Master Antonio? I was like, holy shit, they dug her up.
Isn't that, but they both have, oh yeah, they both have the same first two names.
Yeah, yeah. But
it's like if I'm in the line at the grocery store and there's an article about J-Law, I'm like, oh, is this about Jude Law?
But And that's something I love in movies, is like that part where you said like the Norwegians are speaking like Norwegian to each other.
There's a lot of subtitles in it.
Like, I love shit like that in movies. Like Inglourious Basterds, you know, it starts out they're speaking French, I believe it is. And then at a certain point, he says, you know, can we switch to English? And the guy's like, sure, you know, we or whatever, you know. And so then they do. But I just like that a lot. And I want to say... Was it in Star Trek Beyond that there was a part where, like, alien races were talking to each other and they didn't even put subtitles on the screen?
I can't remember exactly.
It seems like I've seen something recently and it might have been that where they did it. But I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool because it's like, you know, they kind of put you in the position of the main characters. You're like, well, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. So
yeah, I think that might have happened in Star Trek Beyond.
So it's like, I don't know. I like stuff like that because it feels.
Oh, maybe you should check
authentic.
Out the Thing prequel remake then. It's decent.
Yeah, maybe I will.
It was a lot better than the Evil Dead remake, which was basically pointless.
Was that on like Prime or?
Yeah,
that...
well, you can just rent the movies.
Okay,
they're like older movies are like $4 to rent in HD.
Nice. I see on Vudu they have that Gods of Egypt for like $7.99, like just to flat out buy it.
That's gotta be like a shitty movie night. Movie.
I'm very tempted to grab it for $7.99 because I'm like, oh, this has gotta be. That's the thing. It's either gonna be like this great cheese fest, or it's just gonna be dire like Babylon AD type.
Well, it was
shit.
Directed by Alex Proyas. I mean, he's not a bad director.
Yeah, but he's. Had a lot of misses too.
Yeah,
he generally has like interesting style or whatever, but yeah,
maybe they can make another Crow reboot. I know they've been trying, but I think that movie is, well, it is cursed.
Was that the, is he the one that made Dark City?
Yep.
Okay,
Dark City,
so that was really good.
What was that movie with the Day the Earth Stood Still remake?
Yeah, which was okay. Is he the one that did Equilibrium?
No,
that was somebody else. Okay, I'm getting him confused with somebody else then. Yes. So what have I seen? I haven't seen any. Well, I saw Suicide Squad in the theater.
How did that make you feel?
It was okay. It was this weird movie, though. I mean, you could definitely tell it had been messed with. Like, the tone was all over the place. So I think those reshoots from earlier this year definitely came into play. It had the feeling of originally being a movie that was probably a bit more serious, and then they tried to like inject jokes and it just didn't work.
This is a reaction to Batman v Superman.
Yeah. So, but to me it's a bit of a mess, and it's just not terribly interesting. Like, the villain's just kind of lame. The whole thrust of the movie, it's not very compelling, but what saves it is the actors. Like, Will Smith is basically being 1990s Will Smith, and it was incredibly refreshing. It was a lot of fun to see him.
So not After Earth Will Smith.
Yeah. So it was just fun to see him be like good old, you know, cocky Will Smith. And then like Margot Robbie was pretty good as Harley Quinn. Jared Leto as Joker. I hope they just throw that thing in a dumpster and pretend it never happened.
Well, he looks like he came out of a dumpster.
Yeah, I was worried about that from the first time I saw a picture of him. I'm just like, what the fuck is this?
Well, from the previews and the photos, I look at it and like all the characters have like words written on them.
Yeah.
To like, explain them. It's like, come on.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I get that he felt like he had to go a different way for it because, you know, the other people who have done it have been so iconic. You know, even Cesar Romero, you know, way back when, and then Nicholson and Ledger, obviously. But to me, it's like there's so many other villains. You know, leave the Joker on the shelf for a while, because like when Ledger came around, it had been almost 2 decades since Nicholson. You know, there'd been a lot of time to breathe between those movies. Not so much this time.
What if they would have just made like a Silence of the Lambs thing where we see the Joker converting Harley Quinn?
Yes, like that's
like, just make a $40 million movie about that.
And that's the thing I thought of while watching this, was just all the things where they did like these little backstory snippets about like Deadshot and her and the El Diablo character. I was like, you know, that stuff is way more interesting than like the main movie you're trying to show me. It's like, I would have rather watched like those three movies told on their own. Like, yeah, it'd be great to see the whole Harley Quinn's, you know, the psychiatrist for the Joker, and seeing him, you know, controlling, manipulating, turning her, you know, all that stuff. Instead, you just see that.
You could make a whole movie off of that.
Yes, yeah, you could easily do that.
It's like two sets, two actors.
Yeah,
It would have gotten better reviews.
Yeah, because, I mean, ultimately what you get is you get a bunch of flashbacks where it's like, ooh, that's kind of interesting. I want to see more of that.
Why not make 4 cheaper, character-driven, smaller films,
yep,
instead of one super expensive movie that is kind of middling? Although it does seem like these...
It's been successful.
Yeah, I mean, Batman v Superman was successful as well, and this one will probably end up at about the same box office.
Yeah, it's going to end up right around $300 billion domestic by the looks of it, and it's going to be over 6 globally. and it was cheaper than Batman v Superman, so...
Yeah, that's not bad.
And the thing, too, is, like, the Deadshot thing, you know, like, his backstory, he's basically, like, this hitman who's got a little bit of a conscience because of his daughter and stuff like that, and, you know, I don't know, it's just like, yeah, you'd have... And they'd all be different movies, because you'd have, like, kind of that tight, compact Harley Quinn Joker movie.
Yeah.
You know, more of an actor's film. But then, yeah, the Deadshot movie, it could be almost kind of like a, you know, hitman, like the professional Leon type movie, you know, and then like the El Diablo movie could be, I don't know, something else. But
it seems like, I mean, Warner Brothers is making it backwards again. It's starting with an ensemble and then going backwards.
That's definitely,
yeah, going backwards to single character films.
Yeah, you can definitely see that that's kind of their move. I don't know if it's just like they think, here, we got to play catch up. Here, let's make the big movie. We'll see which characters resonate with audiences, and then that's how we'll decide what movies we're going to make going forward. That's
almost like,
what
it's like
it
a focus
like.
Group. Like, here's 8 cans of soda. Tell us which one you like the best.
Yeah, that's kind of what it feels like, you know, because they saw all the pre-release excitement about Harley Quinn, you know.
But
so
all
then,
these movies have been greenlit already. Like, after Man of Steel, they greenlit 10 DC movies. So they even like, if someone had saw, you know, if people had seen Batman v Superman and hated Wonder Woman,
yeah,
it's like, it wouldn't matter. Her movie was already in production.
Yeah, they were already making it at that point. Like, that movie's in the can already. But yeah, I mean, it was like,
I think they've got to really nail that one, because if they make another stinker.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's really important, because if they nail that one, then they've got some goodwill going into Justice League. But yeah, if they somehow, especially after that trailer, like, that trailer was so goddamn good for Wonder Woman that it's like,
it's not hard to make a good trailer.
I know, but it's like, if they end up not delivering a movie that at least, you know, fulfills the promise of that trailer, it's not going to be great. And then, yeah, they've got Justice League next November.
I mean, the thing is, it could suck, and statistically it may suck.
It could, yeah, yeah.
I guess, I don't know. I mean, they should be like, you know, take their time editing it, making sure the story makes sense. If the story doesn't make sense, do some reshoots. Yeah, I'm still not convinced that Wonder Woman, I don't know, can she act? I mean, she doesn't really say much.
I don't know.
Batman,
I liked her. Like, you know, she has that scene with Affleck where they're in that, they're like at that party and they're talking about like that sword there.
Hard drive or whatever.
Yeah, but then there's the part where like he sees her later and they're talking about that sword. You know, it's like over some Sultan's bed, like the real one. This one's a counterfeit, blah, blah, blah. And then she's like, you know, 9 out of 10 men, blah, blah, blah. And then he's like, I'm the 1 out of 10. They have, like, good little banter there. Like, I don't know. I thought that she held up just fine. So, I mean, yes, now she's going to have to, like, carry a movie, which is a bit big difference from her little, you know,
I mean, it seems like she has kind of a thick accent.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, look at, like, The Rock versus Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Rock's a much... Well, I don't know if he's more charismatic, but you can understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he's much more eloquent.
Although Arnold still made far better films.
Yes.
When are we going to get the new Arnold Schwarzenegger, damn it?
The Rock's like the closest we'll ever get,
but
I think.
He's not really making the kind of movies. He's just making all remakes and franchise extensions. Like, where is our super high budget, The Rock loses his memory and then pulls something out of his nose?
Yeah,
Arnold made a lot of high concept films.
Yeah. That's what we have Tom Cruise for. I mean, I know he's not Arnold, but Tom takes risks. He does whatever the fuck he wants.
He's the forever movie star.
He is. He's kind of the last movie star.
So here's the thing. Like, those playing around long at home, can you name, how many bad Tom Cruise movies can you name?
And this is, like, bad quality, not bad box office, because those are even harder to find, I would say, bad
box office. Like, Legend?
Yeah, for me, it's, like, Legend is probably his last, like, bad movie. And there's a lot of people that like that movie.
What about Rock of Ages?
See, I know that one, like, critically was kind of a mixed bag. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. He was pretty hilarious in it. Yeah, I mean, it's like, you look at him, it's like, what's he done lately? You know, it's like he did, like, the Mission Impossible is obviously
really successful. He's going to fight the mummy.
Yeah, he's going to do that. Which, that's, like, got him and Russell Crowe in it, which is interesting.
Russell Crowe is in The Mummy?
Yeah, he's going to play, like, Jekyll and Hyde. So I guess he's going to have, like, a cameo.
A modern-day Jekyll and Hyde?
I guess, yeah.
You know, all they have to do, like, Van Helsing, all they had to do is make a good movie. They didn't.
That's all it takes, yeah.
And it's basically like a Castlevania, the movie. I mean, I kind of wish it wasn't in present day, but...
Yeah. I mean, honestly, to me, though, it's like the fact that Tom Cruise is involved gives me a lot of hope for it, because he, you know, he's not a director, he's not this or that, but when he's involved in movies, he's very...
It kind of takes it up a notch.
Yeah, he's very...
That's how
aware.
Arnold was back in the day, too. It's like, you know, the movie just had to perform, you know, had to perform better, be a better standard.
Yeah, like...
Although it is directed by Roberto Orci.
Yeah, yeah, but Tom has, yeah, that certain standard. It seems like he, you know, he's never completely satisfied. Like, that when you watch, like, stuff about, you know, like, these recent Mission Impossible movies when they were making them, you know, he's always there like, you know, we could do that better, or how can we take it up a couple more notches and make it more
exciting.
I'll
go see The Mummy remake.
Because he's very conscious, it seems like, of the fact that it's like, you know what, we're entertainers. People are spending their money to come and be entertained and see something they haven't seen before. And so that's why he does, like, all these crazy stunts and shit.
I can tell you exactly how that movie's going to start, though. Because all I had to hear was Tom Cruise,
well, it's like,
is a Navy SEAL.
Forces, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a bunch of Navy SEALs trying to kill a terrorist in the Mid-East. And it'd be just like the beginning of the original Mummy, where he's in the French Foreign Legion. And they'll stumble upon a tomb. It'll kill his entire squad. Yeah. He'll be the last one living. And then there'll be, like, some smart woman that he hooks up with. And then they'll fight Knife Woman from Kingsman.
Yeah, because that's the twist with it, right? Is they've got a woman for the mummy.
Well, there's a female mummy in the old Mummy.
That's true.
Remember? A knock to the moon.
Booty.
Imhotep's priest. Yeah, but will it have the cheese factor of the 99 Mummy?
I don't think so. See, the 99 Mummy is just special. It's like this great, like, adventure, just fun movie with just the right amount of cheese. And honestly, that's the type of movie we need nowadays, which I don't think this will be
a better Indiana Jones movie than Crystal Skull was.
Oh, yeah, by far. It was better, yeah, better than that, better than Tomb Raiders.
I hope this has some levity and, like, doesn't take itself too seriously like the 99 one didn't.
Yeah, it just needs to have fun, so.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, although Stephen Sommers has really shit the bed since The Mummy. Have you seen Deep Rising?
No.
Okay, you got to see Deep Rising. It was the movie he made right before The Mummy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, it has Famke Jansson in it. There you go.
Famke Jansson?
Whatever her name is.
Like,
you know who I mean.
Who? Jansson?
It's but got yes, I do. Xenia on the top, is it?
Yes.
It has a part where there's a sinking cruise ship and they're jet skiing down the hallways shooting at tentacle monsters.
Nice.
It's a really entertaining movie.
Yeah, it's like, why haven't I seen this movie?
I would highly recommend it.
Nice.
Deep Rising.
See, I enjoyed the first G.I. Joe. It had, like, a nice level
of cheese.
Oh, that
movie was fucking hilarious.
It's just fun as hell.
I think it had several layers of cheese. I mean, that was one of the goddamn stupidest movies I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Remember, like, we all went to that just to laugh at it? And, oh, my God, I laughed so
and
hard
at
that movie.
It was just a lot of fun.
Remember the sinking ice at the end? How does this work?
It's like, wow, they've defied physics. But yeah, and you got, like, Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Cobra Commander, just chewing every piece of scenery he could find. What was it? It had the Doctor Who guy, Eccleston. He was,
Channing Tatum was in that too, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, because he's, like, the hero guy. And then it had, oh, God, that super hot chick from Layer Cake.
Oh, Sienna Miller?
Yes, as Baroness. But yeah, and it had, like, good, solid action at times, like that part in Paris where, like, the thing shoots the Eiffel Tower, and then they're, like, going through that building.
I mean, it was,
stuff.
Like, a live-action Team America World Police.
Yes, well, yeah, I mean, very much so, yeah.
Well, technically, that was live-action, too, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Actual human.
Don't worry, everyone. We've killed the terrorists.
But yeah, that was, it was just fun. I have never seen the sequel, but... I'm sure it doesn't capture the awesomeness of the first
G.I. Joe. Rise of Cobra.
So you're on Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Netflix. We completely did not even talk about that.
Yes.
Maybe this could be our final
topic.
Which
I have not seen, but I don't care that much if you...
I'm not going to spoil
anything.
Don't get
anything. Too spoilery, but I'm
well,
sure
I
you
mean,
can still
talk
about it.
There's not really a whole
it.
Lot to spoil.
Like, what's it even about? I know it's, like, set back kind of in... 80s, right?
So Stranger Things is a Netflix original series. It's like 8 episodes, which is a little short, but that's fine.
That's good.
It's basically Super 8. If Super 8 was a TV series and didn't suck. Because I did not like Super 8. Okay, disclaimer. I watched it on a plane, and I had forgot. I think it was when I lost my noise-canceling headset, but I actually found it. Actually, I found that like a month ago. Because I always thought that I lost my noise-canceling headset while watching The Artist on a plane. Like, I left it on my plane.
A silent movie. How sad.
That's pretty ironic, actually, if you think about it. But it turns out that I didn't lose them. Because I was like...
They were just hidden in a bag.
I was, like, rearranging something or, like, unpacking something. And I found it, like... In a bag inside of another bag inside of another bag. Like someplace it shouldn't have been. I'm like, oh my God, I had these things. I didn't lose them 3 years ago.
I had them.
Because I had
all
since bought new noise-canceling headphones. Better ones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you always have to upgrade. You can't just get the same
thing. Well, I upgraded because I had lost my old ones.
Yes, but that's what I'm saying.
But then like, it turns out I had enough situation. Reward points on my credit card. I could have got the new ones for free.
Oh.
The Bose ones. So it was kind of like the ironic song from Alanis Morissette. In which only one or two things that she says is ironic. See, that's what we need. Oh, that's another. When I'm president, we're going to have an irony coincidence tax.
Yes.
And when you use them incorrectly,
wow.
You have to pay a quarter.
We would, yeah, deficit would be gone in
yep.
like weeks. Also, when people use the word irregardless.
That's not them. A word, right?
Exactly, but it's just regardless. But people say irregardless all the time.
That's pretty ironic.
Mm.
So, yeah, so, like, forgetting, putting on your noise-canceling headphones to watch a silent movie, and then that's the movie where you forget your headphones on the plane. That would have been ironic.
Yes.
However, it turns out that wasn't the case. But that was just, it was a coincidence that was
yes.
also the time when I misplaced them.
Mm.
Like, on Pinside, people complain about that Predator guy. They're like, oh, isn't it ironic that he lives in a town called Pinconning, Michigan? And I went on there and I'm like, nope, that's a coincidence.
You're like, you don't settle down, everybody. It's a coincidence.
I'm here to put the internet right.
One post at a time.
Yeah, and it just gets added onto your internet bill, so you don't even notice it.
Yes.
Yeah, the irony coincidence tax.
Yeah, because you could have it like Royale, the ISPs, they could sit there and monitor all the communications across the internet, you know, which they do already anyways.
Yep.
So, and then just, yeah, pick up. Oh, here's somebody used that incorrectly. 25 cents on their bill. People's bills would like double. Yeah, God, that's one of my most hated ones, when people say, I could care less, when they mean to say, I couldn't. Because it's like... That means you do care, even though I know what you're trying to say.
And then we have, like, these rappers and singers using the terms incorrectly, like Beyonce.
Yes. Yeah.
I could care less what you think. No, that, so you could, you do care a little.
You care at least a bit.
It's kind of like the difference between 0 degrees in Fahrenheit or Celsius or Kelvin.
Mm.
So 0 degrees Kelvin is theoretically no atomic motion. Absolutely devoid of heat.
Yes, yeah.
So that is, you couldn't be colder than that. Whereas, you know, saying 0 degrees Celsius or Fahrenheit, it seems really cold, but
yeah,
it could be colder.
It can get colder.
Yeah.
Yes.
You could freeze less.
So Super 8 on
oh,
a
yeah.
plane, so, which is different than a snake. So
or a hotel chain.
So you said you, like, hated Super 8? Like,
I didn't hate it.
Did you dislike all of it, or just like when it
well,
turns
I couldn't
into the
hear
weird,
it
like...
very well, because as I mentioned, this is right after I had misplaced my noise-canceling headsets. Oh, that's how we got on that tangent.
Yeah, that's how we got there. I was just curious, like, your general opinion of Super 8.
Although, you know, actually, on that same flight, I don't know how I remember this, I watched Super 8 and the first Planet of the Apes remake.
Oh,
and I really like that one.
Yeah, that's good.
So the quality of the movie was not dependent on my ability to hear it.
Okay.
I just didn't think it was, I don't know, I just didn't really care for it.
Yeah, I thought it was okay, and then it kind of really went off the rails when it had, like, the big monster underground shit at the end or whatever. Like it.
Yeah, and then it makes a spaceship and flies away.
Yeah, it's just really freaking weird. But anyway.
So Stranger Things.
Which is not Super 8.
Which is not Super 8. There's, like, these four kids who are friends, and they ride their bikes around, and they, like, swear at each other, and they play Dungeons and Dragons, and...
So it's like Stand By Me, Kids.
It's a lot more like E.T. I mean, it's basically E.T. I mean, without getting into, like, the story. I mean, when you watch it, you're like, oh, this is E.T. with a girl, basically.
Actually, yeah, I heard it described that way, too.
Oh, that's
yeah.
a perfect description
yeah.
of it.
Okay.
Anyway, but, you know, the kids feel realistic. You know, they ride their bikes around. It kind of feels more like a realistic version of the 80s.
Yeah, because we grew up in the 80s. We
yeah.
would have been kids at
like
that time.
Like, an appropriate number of people smoke, for instance.
Yeah.
I mean, Super 8 was like a big-budget Hollywood movie. Like, they couldn't show smoking.
Yeah.
But a lot of people smoked back then.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Winona Ryder gets nervous, and she smokes, and it felt real.
Okay.
And it's like there's, like, a sheriff character who's a really fun character. And it's like the sheriff, like, one of the kids goes missing, and he's like, oh, he probably just ran away from home. And he starts investigating, and he realizes there's a lot more to it. Hmm. And there's, like, a secret government base that's involved.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's kind of more classic where, like, the secret government base aren't the heroes. They're the villains.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's just, like, a small-town sheriff who's, like, the hero, not, like, the CIA or, like, yeah. everything in movies and TV now, it's always, like, government, government, government. Like,
yes.
The yeah. government's always the hero.
Yeah.
And this is more like the cop guy who's, like, a drunken... divorced guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Like when his character starts out, he like it's kind of reminds me of our alien hunter idea. Because when they establish his character, he like wakes up covered with sweat on his couch, surrounded by beer cans, and then he's drinking beer while pissing and smoking while he shaves. Like he just seems like a complete shitbag.
Damn it! It's like see, like
yeah.
we always have these ideas that eventually they happen.
But then he puts on a belt and he's got a gun and then he's got a star. Like, holy shit, he's
yeah,
the sheriff.
Like, fuck. yeah.
Right. So that's the
cool.
hero.
Okay.
But he's cool. Like he doesn't put up with any shit. Like,
nice.
Like when he has to, like when a government agent tries to stop him, he just whacks him over the head with his gun. yeah, but it felt more like so. It felt more realistic. Like it was from
okay.
the '80s, and I think why people really gravitate toward it. And this is what I've always said about remakes: is people don't necessarily want remakes of the properties from the 80s. The thing they liked about those movies was the way they were made and the way the stories were told.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Stranger Things isn't like the greatest thing ever. I mean, it's probably a little overrated. However, it is very authentic to its style and period.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people like it. And
yeah, it's
not a remake. It's not a reboot. It's just, you know, done
yeah.
in that style. And think about, like, look at the summer. Like, Nobody talks about any of these remakes. Nobody talks about RoboCop. Nobody talks about Total Recall
yeah.
or Fright Night. Like nobody talked about Ghostbusters really positively.
Yeah. yeah.
And then here's something that kind of does nostalgia right, and people are all over it.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got this really good emulation of like a John Carpenter score.
Okay. So, yeah, it's just like how like why Mad Men was so good. I mean, there were so many reasons, but one of the things was that it like. Captured its time period really well. I mean, I
yeah.
didn't live through that time, but it's like, you know, you read enough things online and talk to people that did live through those days, and you know, they're like, yeah, that's, you know, like when JFK got assassinated, you know, that's how it was, you know, it's just like, what the fuck, you know, like, and people sitting in their living rooms trying to figure out how to process it and whatever, you know, it's...
Yeah, Mad Men wasn't based off something from the 60s, it was just a story set in that time period.
Yes, yeah, so, yeah, authenticity is important, I guess, so...
Yeah, you see a lot of this retro 80s stuff, which seems like it might be one of the new coming things. I think zombies are finally done, thank God.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
But a lot of times it's like really, like, what's that movie everyone, or that Kung Fury, everyone thinks that's so great?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like, the 3-minute short that they used to fund it was good, but when
yeah.
it's blown up to 30 minutes, it's like, so yeah, you can unfollow me if you want, but I didn't think Kung Fury was any good. Because it's like an overblown impression of the 80s rather than just the 80s.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, because it's like, you know, like when you're talking about The Rock and stuff, and it was like probably the closest he got was when he did that movie The Rundown, because it was just kind of like this original, well, you know, on its own thing. You know, it wasn't like a sequel. It wasn't part of some mega franchise. And, you know, it was kind of a down and dirty sort of adventure movie. But, you know, it was kind of an emulation of the movie Schwarzenegger made.
Yeah.
But it didn't quite capture it, but it had some fun stuff to it.
There are also interesting takes on characters in Stranger Things. Like, Winona Ryder is... It's her son that goes missing.
Okay.
And she just turns into a basket case.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting, you know. She doesn't, like, pick up a machine gun and, like, turn into, like, Sigourney Weaver. She just freaks the hell out and goes crazy. And it was kind of interesting to see that kind of character, too. Like, it felt realistic. Like, every other mom probably would do
that.
That's
what they would do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you'd be distraught. That's just and natural.
And there's, like, a boyfriend jock character. And his character arc is totally unexpected, which I also appreciated.
Okay.
And it's kind of weird at the end, but it makes sense if you think about it. So, yeah, I like how it
kind of plays with your expectations
a little bit.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, you should check it out. It's only 8 episodes. You can blow through it pretty quick.
Yeah, it's nice. Because, when I first heard about it, I just thought it was like, oh, it's going to be a new Netflix series. Then I'm going to have to watch that. Then I'm going to have to wait a year for the next season and blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like there's no cliffhanger.
Compartmentalized. The story is resolved and it ends.
Yeah, so that's appealing to me because it's like there's so many...
Nothing ends anymore.
Yeah, it's like everything has to just go on forever. And it's it doesn't really.
If they made Shawshank Redemption now... And you get to the end of that movie, you're like, oh, Andrew Dufresne is free. Mm-hmm. Like, he escaped that situation, and then I guess Morgan Freeman shows up too. It's like, we don't have to worry about them being thrown back into another prison.
Yeah.
It's not an expanded universe of prisons. We don't have to watch the Leavenworth redemption or the Guantanamo redemption. His character is free. He has absolution. It's done. And you can take solace in that because a big part of movies is like, you know, we deal with conflicts in life and the movies are kind of a way to say, hey, there could be a happy ending or not everything sucks.
There's like a catharsis with them and things.
But we don't get that anymore. The characters are just in unending peril. Like, oh, they defeat this guy by shooting a light in the sky. But, oh, during the credits, here's another villain.
Yeah, here's another even worse guy or whatever. Yeah, it's like...
Yeah, nothing ever ends. And... Yeah, it leaves you feeling unsatisfied, and it basically turns movies into advertisements for the next movie.
Yeah, and that's like, I mean, I know we've harped on Star Wars before, but it's like, you know, back before Lucas sold it to Disney, you know, I always was like, well, you know, I've seen Star Wars. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe there'd be a show here or there or something, but it's like, you know, we have the 6 movies, and, you know, that's it. And it felt okay, you know, because it's like at the end... You know, they beat down, you know, the Emperor's gone, you know, all that stuff. And you're like, well, you know, there's still a little cleanup to do, you know. But it's like, look, you know, everybody's happy. It's like Han and Leia are together, you know, like Luke's looks like he's happy for the first time in, like, ever. You know, like things seem to be looking up. And it was like a good note to end things on. And then now, you know... Disney buys it. Now we get The Force Awakens. Now we find out, like, oh, well, Han and Leia had a kid, but then he turned out to be a shitty kid and went off and did horrible things, and then they broke up, and Han hasn't had his ship in forever, and, you know, like, and then Luke ran off into seclusion. It's like, oh.
It's like they have to turn things to shit in order to
increase
the story.
Oh, so that happiness was really short-lived.
And the Empire wasn't destroyed, even though it's been 30 years.
Yeah, it's like, oh, now we got more bad guys. And, you know, it's just, you know, that to me, that's probably like the core disappointment of the new Star Wars movies is that, yeah, like you don't have this end anymore. And now that Disney owns it, it's like they'll probably be making Star Wars movies... forever. You know, like, we won't see the end of Star Wars now.
Well, until people get sick of it. Hey, look at this. A 64-bit processor can address 16 exabytes of memory. And No Man's Sky promises 18 quintillion planets. So that's right around the same number.
There you go.
Maybe that's why. Because The computers and the game consoles are all 64-bit now. They've just now caught up with the Jaguar.
Wow.
Do the math. Did you ever have one of those things?
No, I never had. I never even played one.
They're not very good.
There was like a kid down the street that had one
that
was rumored, but I never
sucked.
Saw it. And I played one Master System. I had a 3DO. Few of us got 3DOs, actually. I got one, and then a couple of friends did. And
you had a 3DO?
Mm-hmm. I got it when they were, like, way down in price, like, when they were, like, $300
oh,
still. But
yeah, when they had the pack in with Gex.
I don't think it came with Gex. It had something, or did I get it before it had the pack-in game? But they had dropped the price. I got the Gold Star one.
I want to do a teardown of the Virtual Boy, and I was looking on eBay. Those things are, like, expensive
now.
They're more than they were
money.
New.
Yeah.
I should have bought one on closeout at KB Toys for $25 back in the day. Or shit, that smaller Super Nintendo, that thing's expensive now, too. I should have bought when they're selling them for $20 a piece on closeout at Walmart. I should have bought them all.
Pretty much. Could have been our retirement.
My game collection is doing better than my investment funds. Certainly better than money market, which is an effing joke.
Yeah, that's...
It's like, the thing is, like, if you put money in the bank, you lose money.
Yeah,
like, inflation is way higher than interest.
Yeah. Fun fact.
Yeah, that sucks.
But,
it's like,
yeah, it's like, yeah, the 3DO is probably the most obscure system I owned, I guess, isn't that obscure.
You should sell your Snatcher game.
Yeah, I should. Because, yeah, you were showing me that one site that kind of shows you what stuff actually sells for.
You've probably got a more valuable collection than I do.
Yeah, I don't know. I've got that, and I've got, like, Chrono Trigger, which I know has some value. There might be a handful of other ones. Long ago, I sold off a lot of my Nintendo games, like, way back.
Yeah.
There were probably some in there that if I still had them today would be worth something, but... Yeah. I used to keep all the boxes, too, but then at some point when I moved, I was like, well, these take up a lot of space, and I unloaded them.
That's something. If I could go back in time and tell myself as a kid some advice, it'd be keep the boxes.
Yep. Keep the boxes.
Because apparently people care about that now.
Buy Apple stock.
Yeah.
In 1998 or whenever that was.
1998, that would be the right year to do it.
And then just sit back for a while, go do whatever, but then eventually you'll be able to retire very young.
Well, I guess we talked about several things in this podcast. Any closing thoughts?
I'm hoping there's some good movies yet to come this year, because this summer has... I gotta think this is like the worst summer for movies in my life. Like, for just...
Quality?
Them and quality. Like, I mean, it's
Star Trek was the only thing I watched
crap.
This summer.
I mean, you know, there's been, like, some okay stuff, but it's just, like, there hasn't been anything where it's like, holy shit, that was, like, awesome.
Do you think it's just getting older and you just don't care about movies anymore?
I don't think so, because it's like, you know, there's movies that come along and I love them still. You know, it's not like I don't get into movies, and there are some that I'm interested in, like, that come out later this year. There's the new Jack Reacher. And then there's that movie, I think it's just called Arrival. It doesn't even have a "the" at the front of it. It's by that Denis Villeneuve guy that did Sicario. And it's got Amy Adams in it, and it's like an alien... It's like an alien invasion type movie, but it's not necessarily like, you know, our typical, oh, they're coming down to destroy us movie. It's like she's some sort of, like... linguist, I guess, and so they like engage her to try to facilitate conversation with the aliens, yada yada yada. I don't know, it sounds different.
And then she sells a purse to the aliens.
What's that?
She sells a purse to the aliens.
Maybe. That's a callback. So that's what I'm, you know, looking for. So hopefully some decent stuff yet this year. I think it's just, you know, like you say, we've gotten older. So maybe now it's just really shifted to where the movies we might actually give a shit about come out later in the year now.
Well, they are making more sequels and remakes and comic book movies. And like, the movies have become very...
very narrow.
Yes. homogeneous. There's just not much variety to them. Everything is. Although there's another space movie coming out this fall, Passengers, with Jay Law and Chris Pratt.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, because it's I looked at Box Office Mojo before coming over here today, and it was the top 9 movies this year are either animated or superhero movies. The top movie that doesn't fall into either of those characters was Star Trek Beyond, and that's still a sequel.
Yeah, but it didn't, you know, compared to everything else, it didn't do that great.
Yeah, it didn't do.
I mean, people like to rag on Ghostbusters, but Star Trek Beyond only did slightly better and cost a lot more.
Yeah, I looked at that one. It's like globally, it's just shy of $300 million, I think.
Yeah,
and for
not
what
that great.
And for what the budget was, it's not.
I have a feeling they're going to put that Calvin universe on ice and just see how the TV show goes.
Well, that's the thing they've been talking about. They do have that fourth one coming out, and they said that Hemsworth's going to be in it. It's like potentially.
Oh, just like how Fantastic Four 2 was announced and Ghostbusters 2. And...
yeah, I mean, they could still pull the plug on it. But it's like, who knows, maybe with Hemsworth coming back, it's like maybe they find a way to basically really pull the plug on the Kelvin universe and set it back.
Oh, yeah. So like his father doesn't die?
Yeah, something like that, you know, maybe, you know. It'd be interesting. It'd be pretty ballsy. I don't know if they'd have the guts to do that. But
isn't Thor actually like box office poison, unless he's Thor?
That's how most
of
these
Red
actors.
Red Dawn, Ghostbusters.
That's how most of these
Cabin
actors are today. You know, like where we said something about Tom Cruise, you know, kind of being like the last movie star in a way. It's like
he's also the last samurai.
He was.
Because the
or was
what
it
is it? It's Hollywood. The best blank is always a white person.
Yeah. But you look at nowadays, it's like movies are like character driven, they're not really star driven, you know, so that's why like Iron Man movies open huge, Robert Downey Jr. movies not so much.
See, also Johnny Depp
and Johnny Depp, you know, the same sort of thing. And like,
well, yeah, Captain Jack Sparrow movies open huge, but like no one cared about Lone Ranger, no one cared about Alice in Wonderland 2.
Yeah.
I think that just shows you how detached the people who make these movies are from reality. I mean, like, nobody gave a shit about Alice in Wonderland. It made a lot of money for some reason, but nobody cared about
it. It was the lucky movie that came right after Avatar with 3D shit. I think that was a huge part of it for that movie, because it was the first big type movie afterwards with 3D.
Right.
If that came out 2 years after Avatar, probably wouldn't have made half the money.
I mean, honestly, like, the average movie fan, if you're like, hey, should we make a sequel to this? They'd be like, no. Hey, should we make a $100 million remake of Ben-Hur? No. It's like, why is this so hard to figure out?
Plus, the thing, like, if you look at, like, movie budgets for things, it's just nuts. Like, that Gods of Egypt movie, it had a $140 million budget. It's like, who the hell thought that was a good idea? I would have spent, like, $20 million on it.
Why
maybe,
not make 140 Blair Witch projects? Or Blair Witch. Now it's not the Blair. They remade that too. It's not the Blair Witch Project. It's just
Blair
Witch.
Because
you got to dumb it down as much as possible.
Yeah, but yeah, it is interesting how it's changed. You know, it's like you've got kind of the last generation of those movie stars, and they're all aging out, and then all the new people coming in. It's like, you know, it's like yes, people are aware of like you know, oh, this is Channing Tatum or whoever, you know, but it's like that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to rush out and see every movie that they make, you know, where it used to be, you know, movie stars in this movie, you know, it's like people would go and see it just because they liked them and they figured there was a certain
because you're like, oh, I want to see Will. It's like Will Smith is the star of this movie and he will play Will Smith.
Yeah,
I want to see him fight aliens. Now I want to see him fight aliens. Now I want to see him fight the enemy of the state.
Yeah.
And now I want to see him fight a giant metal spider. But you kind of knew what you were getting.
Yes. Yeah.
But you also have the problem, like, you have all these, like, generic blocks of wood, as I like to call them, like Sam Worthington, Jai Courtney, Aaron Taylor Thomas, Kick-Ass. Like, these all, like, completely generic guys they plug into movies and no one gives a crap.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of have a problem with that, too.
Yeah.
And also, Mark Wahlberg is the star of every third movie made.
Yeah, it's like when I used Channing Tatum before, he was probably a poor example because he's probably the most bankable of these new people because there was that run there for a bit where it was kind of like every movie he popped in, like whether it was like a G.I. Joe movie or a romantic type movie.
Oh, he's definitely like a movie star.
Like, I think he's, out of this new crop, he's probably about the most bankable.
Yeah.
But again, you're also not sitting there making like $150 movies and expecting him to deliver massive box office. It's like they make like a $30 million movie with him and it makes like 75 and, you know, they're happy, which is how it should be.
The movies are just too damn expensive. And
yeah, that's the core problem.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of hoping this summer, I mean, it depends what
like
lesson
Deadpool
they'll take.
Plus this summer might be enough to get the message across.
Yeah, it depends what lesson they take, you know, because it's like they could also sit there and be like, well, look, we'll just double down on superhero and animated movies. Not that they aren't already doing that, but yeah, double down again.
Yeah, like Angry Birds is going to be more profitable than Ghostbusters or Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, Ghostbusters, they've gotten real quiet about any more movies for that. Now it's kind of focusing more on these animated shows and stuff like that.
I don't even think a real Ghostbusters 3, like people want. I don't even know if that would have worked.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Ghostbusters 1 painted itself into a corner. And the thing is, yeah, Ghostbusters 2 also sucks.
Yeah, people like to forget that.
Yeah, it's not a good movie.
Yeah, the well was already tainted a long time ago.
Yeah, unless you did something like, oh, no one believes in ghosts anymore. It's like, how could they not? Like, that would be like being a Holocaust denier. It's like, okay, so this giant marshmallow man didn't smash up New York? It's like,
yeah,
you know, the story painted itself into a corner.
Yeah, true, yeah.
To the point where you almost have to reboot it, but then everyone gets pissed about that. It's like, again, why not just, like, Men in Black. Men in Black was Ghostbusters with aliens, and people loved it.
And it was great,
yeah. I think that was the thing. It's kind of like with Stranger Things. It's like, even, like, the classic movies from the 80s that we like, they're just parts of older movies it's like Taco Bell, how they have like four ingredients and they use it to make everything. It's like, if you look at like Star Wars is Hidden Fortress plus Buck Rogers. Mm-hmm. Indiana Jones is like a serial action movie, just, you know, changed around with like some supernatural and Nazis. And
yeah,
they were just assembled. They took concepts and they assembled them in new ways and presented it as a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't, again, they don't even do that anymore. Like, we just get straight up remakes.
Yeah, they just rehash.
That's the thing with Stranger Things. I mean, it's basically like if John Carpenter had made a mini series about E.T. That's basically exactly what it is.
Hmm.
But, you know, it's, you know.
But it's like a different spin on it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. Yeah.
Because you don't know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah. But it still feels familiar on a certain level. Like, enough to make you comfortable, you know, but then, yeah, plays with that a bit. That's the secret sauce.
So what we really need is like a real Indiana Jones sequel.
Yes.
I think if you made a movie like that and just nailed it, I think people would like it. And I don't think we're going to get it from Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg.
That's where they have to make an Uncharted movie and do it right. And they could, I mean,
well, they're making
all that
Tomb Raider is actually happening, right?
Yes, which has Alicia Vikander, which she's a good actress. I hope she proves me wrong. She's not who I would cast, but be interesting, I guess, to see what comes.
Oh, didn't you think Emily Blunt should be Tomb Raider?
Fuck yeah.
Because she's British?
She's British. She's got, like, action hero chops, like she was in Edge of Tomorrow. Like, she's proven she can do that sort of stuff.
So what if there was a action movie starring Emily Blunt and Jason or John Krasinski? Yes.
It'll probably happen at some
like
point.
Like, because what is it? Now he's making a Jack Ryan TV series for Amazon?
Yeah, like for Amazon. Yeah, like he was in that Benghazi movie.
Yep, 13 hours. So basically, if you want to fight terrorists, you hire a comedian from NBC.
Yeah. Like you hire Jim from The Office. Yeah.
Or Chris Pratt if you need to take out Bin Laden.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he was in that movie.
Yeah, that's true. And yeah, he was Andy, the guy living in the freaking hole in the lot.
Now he's, shooting Bin Laden. Oh, what if it was like a shared universe? It was Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and Chris Pratt, terrorist fighters.
Well, and Emily Blunt, you know, the first thing anybody saw her in is she was like an executive assistant in Devil Wears Prada. So they all kind of had like these office environment, like subordinate beginnings.
Yeah, that's true. And Chris Pratt was the secretary in Her.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
Yes, yep. So.
Oh, and then
that'd be
he's
like
also
secret
in Marvel movies with Scarlett Johansson, moon landing faked.
See, that'd be like their secret daily lives, is they're like these mundane like office workers, but then they go on these like covert ops on the weekends and like.
So what do you think is going to happen with Mary Poppins Returns? Do you think she's going to be like a badass Mary Poppins?
That's right, because Emily Blunt's
is she going to like pull this huge machine gun out of her bag and use it to blow away some bad guys?
It'll be like a machine gun umbrella or something. She'll like...
Just a spoonful of death helps the murder go down.
Yeah, it's that's another one where it's
John
just kind of like
Krasinski terrorist fighter.
That's another one where it's just like, where does that come from? But then you see
it's
like
a sequel
all these...
too.
Well, and you see, like, all these, like, live-action things Disney's been doing lately have been quite successful.
I have a feeling Beauty and the Beast is going to make mad money.
Yeah, I think that'll be pretty huge. It's got Hermione's in it, right?
Yes!
I don't know. Who's playing the Beast?
I don't know.
Is it some no-name?
Benicio del Toro?
I thought it'd be Ron Perlman, you know.
Ron Perlman! But... Isn't he a little old for Emma Watson?
Yeah, but if he's, like, in Beast makeup.
So he's Hellboy.
Because didn't he play... Isn't he the one that played the Beast in, like...
Oh, yeah, in the TV show, Beauty and the Beast, with Linda Hamilton.
Okay, that's where it was. I knew he
was
involved
him.
Somewhere. So.
Well, that makes sense. Like, we don't have enough money for makeup in this show. Yeah, we need a really cheap Beast.
That seems to be what they do with him all the time. It's like, oh, how can we get this guy in makeup? Because he's, like, a good actor, but nobody really wants to look at him, I guess. So... Because it's like he was Hellboy and the Beast.
Yep.
And it seems like anytime Guillermo del Toro wants to do something.
Wasn't he that guy in Blade 2 who was like, just when my mama was killing my daddy or whatever, right?
Yeah, he was in that because that was del Toro. So yep. Yeah, he was in there somewhere. And Blade 2, that's a movie I have not thought about in
just
a long
picture
time.
A poster with Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and Chris Pratt all holding machine guns with like an explosion in the background
and staplers.
Yeah.
I would watch that movie, The Secret Lives of Office Workers. It'd be the sequel to The Secret Life of Pets.
You know, The Secret Life of Pets, all you had to do is you take something and you're like, what is the secret life of it? Like Toy Story is the secret life of toys.
Yeah.
Bug's Life was a secret life of ants. Oh, that reminds me. I watched Galaxy Quest again a couple weeks ago, and that movie is basically Bug's Life, which itself was basically Seven Samurai.
Hmm.
Yeah. The bad guy even looks like Hopper from Bug's Life. He looks like a green grasshopper.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in forever.
I still think it's one of the best Star Trek movies. It's definitely in the top five.
It's probably fair.
Yeah.
It's a low bar, so...
Well, with that, I think we should end this amazing podcast. What did you think of our comments? Would you pay money to see Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and Chris Pratt fight bad guys?
Who wouldn't?
Let us know in the comments below.
Adios.